If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome to another special edition of Why Blank Lost as we discuss episode 11 of Survivor Pearl Islands and the vote against Tijuana. I'm David Bloomberg, and with me as always in this RHAP off-season journey through time is my co-host Jessica Lewis.
Yes, I am back and watching even more episodes to get through this journey of time. We are now up to 11, so there's a whole lot of binge watching going on in the Lewis household right now, but
yes,
got through it. And I will say again, I appreciate this rewatch because a lot of the great cast that, you know, we've seen on repeated seasons, getting to see them in their original time was so much fun because that's when they're all kind of learning the game. So overall, great rewatch.
Fun in some cases, but we'll get to that.
We will. We have a lot to discuss. We do have a lot to discuss.
Yeah. Now, Tijuana actually holds a special place in my Survivor history. Back in those days, it wasn't as easy to find out information about players when they were announced. You know, CBS would do the announcements and then we'd wait. But you know, so basically internet stalking was more difficult then.
I was going to say that whole Googling thing really didn't take off.
but I found information on a couple people, including Tijuana, and wrote special articles about each one. For her, I noted that she was listed as a pharmaceutical sales rep in her Survivor bio, but elsewhere she was listed as a waitress. And so in my article, I said, it's curious to me that she chose to leave her pharmaceutical job and go to work as a waitress, unless, of course, she had to leave her job because they wouldn't give her time off to go on Survivor.
Ooh.
Yes. So I got an email out of the blue from her to tell me I got it right.
Oh, my gosh, David, you're right.
Yes.
Look at that.
And at the time, you know, this was way before social media. This was way before easy interactions. That just didn't happen. And all really on the sly.
Yeah.
And so that's one reason I remember it.
That's crazy. Oh, that poor girl. That's awful.
Yeah,
I mean, well, I understand. I mean, you're taking 7 weeks off. So,
right.
But that's a big change, you know, to be a pharmaceutical rep and then become a waitress. And then that's what you're represented as to the world once you're on the show because you're no longer in pharmaceutical sales.
Well, I think they still listed her as pharmaceutical. It was somewhere else I saw the waitress. I'm not sure.
Well, that's good. So she got props for that then.
Yeah. Now, here my memory fades a little bit. I'm pretty sure I met her and Dara. I'm definitely sure I met Dara. I'm pretty sure I met Tijuana at one of the pre-finale parties that I attended back then. I just can't remember what season it was.
Like I might have met her, too. I need to, I'm looking at my signed poster because there's a chance her signature might be on here somewhere, but it's hard to also read people's signatures. But she might have been, she might have been at one of the functions that we were at together.
Together?
But I'm not. Yeah. I feel like there was some old school survivors
I don't remember Tijuana, but
maybe
I'm wrong. Maybe I didn't remember her then. And
listen, I was like thinking to myself, I'm like, I feel like for some reason I met her, but I could be completely misremembering.
Yeah. If we did, then I owe her an apology for not saying, hey, I remember you, you know, but
listen,
she didn't say it to me either. So
there's a whole lot of people that I don't remember. And then I like see them on the season and I'm like, oh, I met them, but I, you know, but like trying to put it all together when there's been 40 seasons now and there's so many people and not that I'm not a huge fan, but sometimes they look different. You know,
well, and they do.
It's been some time. Yeah.
Yeah. Even season 39, Lauren, I saw her at the season 40 premiere party And I didn't notice her right away because she had completely, she had cut her hair and, you know, completely redone it. And of course, she hadn't been out on Survivor for a whole bunch of time. You know, she had actually like showered and put on makeup and was dressed up.
Yeah, so I know what that's like.
Changes, yeah, that, I mean, that changes a lot. It, we can all see it when it comes to the finales.
Yes. You go
seeing the people at the final tribal council looking their worst to boom, having had professional makeup people work on them.
Oh, that was a great day. I loved that day. My hair, my makeup.
You're like, who are those people? I watched all season.
I know. And I was like, damn, look at me. Yeah. I need to have someone do my makeup every day. It was so nice. So thank you, CBS, for giving me that one moment in my life where I got to be like really pretty on TV instead of.
For the red eyes.
That's what I'm saying. Like, finally, I could be like, no, this is what I can look like. But the eye infection really kind of destroyed things for a while for me. So, it's tough.
Yeah.
Put yourself out there in national TV. Oof, that was a bad look.
Now, speaking of putting yourself out there, the other thing I found about Tijuana, I found out she was from St. Louis area, which is good because that's about as close as any Survivor gets to where I live. And she went to college there at St. Louis University.
Nice.
But one other thing I dug up was that she submitted some papers that had titles, things like a handy description and background of legal and illicit drugs, DARES, failure to influence teens from drugs, and a thorough insight of current topics and articles related to marijuana's therapeutic effects, among others. It seemed like she wrote these for a class she was taking, but they were all out there for the finding, which, you know, brought some extra interest to the article.
Same.
It was, I believe I made a joke about pharmaceutical sales rep. what kind of pharmaceutical?
You gotta do what you can, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
But of course, we're not here to talk about college papers and drugs. Instead, as we do each week, we'll look at how Tijuana did it on Survivor compared to the rules I originally wrote way back after season one and have been modifying ever since. As our regular listeners know, we watched the whole season up to this point so we can gather together everything and then add in other stuff like secret scenes and interviews from the time, including my own. So anyone can check out the most recent version of the rules at robhasawebsite.com/blog/survivor rules, or you can get the shorter and much more colorful version of the rules in poster form.
I brought it this week. Ta-da!
Yay!
Yay!
And of course, it has, you can point to it. It has one rule comes from this season.
Yes, it does. Right in the smack dab. Right in the middle there.
I'll let you can't see it for me, but there.
I love that.
There it is. There it is. Rupert getting slightly upset.
At,
yeah,
there you go.
Getting slightly upset at Johnny Fairplay.
Yeah, you know, I can understand why.
Yeah, and you can get that, of course. I can't remember if I said it at tinyurl.com/davidrulesposter2.
Yes, it's only $20, 11x17. As you can see, it looks wonderful in a frame, so you should definitely order. And if you are unable to order through eBay because you were outside of the United States, you can contact me. My Twitter handle is right here. Hey. Jessica Lewis, I know, right? At Jessica Lewis 89, and you can contact me through DM, and we will work out the details of shipping and get that to you.
Okay. Now, in addition to the poster, we also have another way to get the rules so that you can always have them with you, of course, in t-shirt form. Let's see. Is that? Yeah, there we go.
Perfect.
That just go to robhasawebsite.com or robhasapodcast.com. Click the merch link near the top. Sort the store so new items are first, and poof, the shirts will be right there.
Poof. I like it. It's like poof. Magical.
It is. Now, in case anyone missed our announcement the past couple of weeks, we will be expanding Why Blank Lost brand to include the Big Brothers All-Stars season.
I'm going to hide under the table right now.
You're going to hide. Yeah. We may have overcommitted. We're watching 12 and 13 episodes plus Big Brother. And for a few weeks, that means people will be getting a double dose of us and we'll be getting like a quadruple dose. You know, for those of you who are like, wait, you do Survivor. Yeah, I've mentioned before, I used to do Why Blank Lost columns for Big Brother, along with American Idol, The Apprentice. And currently I'm working to update my Big Brother rules, kind of try to bring it into the modern era. Plus, we'll be doing things a little bit differently because we'll be bringing in a guest each week. You know, some will be people, you know, some will be new names, the class of 2020. so we expect there to be a good mix.
Yes.
We're going to start this first week with a name that people should know, especially if they've been watching Big Brother for a while. And that's Ronnie Talbot from Big Brother 11. Mm-hmm. Ronnie was somewhat like Rob Cesternino in that he was well aware of my website at the time. We were in communication pretty much as soon as he was voted out. Plus his castmate Kevin is on this season. So he's really a perfect person to kind of lead this off, as a combination of someone who's familiar with the rules and my old website. He played Big Brother and he's still following it now.
Thank God, because I'm playing catch up. I'm still playing catch up. So I'm very happy that someone else will be here that we can bounce things off of, because there's a whole lot of things happening on Big Brother, which, even though I know you're putting together the rules, obviously the live feeds, there's a lot of extra that even you know, we don't have like secret scenes and things. No, we it's like it's on 24/7. It's like we put, there's another. Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of extra. Describes things in more ways than one when it comes to Big Brother, because there is a lot of extra going
there
on.
There really is a lot. And so it's hard because, like, the other component that I've now learned, because I'm new to these live feeds, is there's multiple cameras, obviously. So you have options to go to different cameras. And then I discovered, oh, well, wait, there's a quad. So you can watch feed. Yes. And then I'm like, why am I even bothering? I can't listen to everything at once because it's
you just got to get, you know, get used to it. You know,
it's going to take me some time. So please, listeners, just hang in there with me. Yeah, I'm doing my best.
We're not even there yet. Don't apologize.
I know.
Don't worry about that. So that'll come later this week. But before then, and before we even get to discussing Tijuana, we have several things to discuss here. And I'm just going to be upfront. This may take half the time of the whole podcast. I mentioned that a couple minutes ago that listeners know we go through the whole season rather than just the episode in question. And this was the first season where we didn't really get a whole lot of information about the person being voted out by doing that, because Tijuana's gameplay was somewhat purple for a big chunk of the season. Mm-hmm. However, rewatching everything does bring up a number of other discussion points from the time. Now, one of these, Jessica, you know, just try not to fall over for this one.
Okay.
It's something that I'm shocked they did, and I'm so glad they never, ever, ever did anything like it again. Jessica, can you believe they voted people out and some of them had a chance to come back in?
Oh my God. Listen, it's interesting that we're starting there, because I feel like CBS should have learned its lesson with this particular season. Now, I will say I appreciate the fact that they did it earlier, as opposed to so much later. You know, it's not like 5 days before the end of the game and they're like, hey, you get to come back. But the one thing that I thought was interesting is we didn't see any of those people who had been voted out.
Total surprise.
Right. So it was a complete surprise. So nobody, you know, no one knew it was happening. And I thought it was nice that they tried to at least explain to the very shocked people who were still there that they've only been eating rice, fruit, and some protein, which in my head, I'm like, well, we've got one tribe that's completely starving right now because nobody can catch food. So there is no protein for those people over there. But this group has been fed. And so I was curious how much that actually helped them in their very large win that occurred at that moment. So, yeah, it was interesting. And I like how they were allowed to paint their own buffs.
Mm-hmm.
telling people to to die.
Yes.
Yeah. So
oh, that's what I wanted to write something like that.
Oh, you know, that would have been good.
I mean, obviously regular listeners know how we feel about things like Edge of Extinction.
Mm, yeah.
So you can guess at the time, I wasn't terribly happy with this turn of events. I said in my recap at the time, I hit on many of the same issues you did. I said, yes, the outcasts were given limited food, but unless they were subject to the same elements, had to sleep in the open or on bad bamboo beds, had to work to do the things necessary to survive, like get water, fish, etc., mm-hmm. had to compete in challenges, then they had it easy compared to the other two tribes. Mm-hmm. And Tijuana herself had similar things to say when I interviewed her. She added on further, noting the outcast tribe had the opportunity to think for 9 days away from the dynamics of the game and contemplate what they did wrong in the game, much like we've talked about Edge of Extinction.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She said, for instance, Little will admit she didn't know how to play the game in the beginning. She had the opportunity to fix her mistakes the second time around. Burton was portrayed as being cliquish and mean to Rupert. We didn't see him do that the second time around. He right. had a second chance, coupled with the fact that the rest of us, because remember, this is still Tijuana talking, the rest of us are still in the game dealing with the detriment to our minds, dealing with conflict, lack of food, fatigue due to lack of sleep, physical challenges, psychological mind games with each other. The list can go on and on. So in my opinion, it wasn't fair.
And I don't discount much of what she has said. Because mm-hmm. I'm not going to go on a soapbox here because we've done that plenty already in regards to this type of twist.
But
I know there really is a lot to say about the mental component. It's not just about the food. Mm-hmm. When you are able to kind of step away from the game, it's incredible how your brain starts to work differently because you're not as paranoid. None of those people, even if they were told, listen, you have a chance to get back into this game, had to worry about being voted out. You know, they didn't have to worry about being targeted. They just had to worry about getting back in. They didn't have to worry about all of the extras that come with being paranoid and seeing people talking and knowing that people are strategizing. And why is this person going over there? And why is this person talking to them over there? Because that really makes your brain spin constantly. And you have trouble sleeping because you're always thinking and trying to work through various scenarios and what's going to happen tomorrow. They didn't have to worry about any of that. Mm-hmm. So for sure, she is completely, completely right in that they had an advantage because they weren't under the same mental strain. And then in addition to, I don't think the physical strain was the same either.
Right. No, I agree. I said later in my recap at the time, I have to agree with Andrew, that would be Andrew Savage, that it's not really fair. These people were voted out in several cases for very good reasons because they made extremely stupid moves. Now they're coming back. And I continued, I know Survivor always changes, but I had hoped that one thing that wouldn't change was that once a person was voted out, they would stay out.
Mm-hmm.
So much for that hope.
Well, and apparently CBS did it and then said, hey, we should do this again.
Yeah.
Like extra again.
Mm-hmm. Multiple ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you can believe it, there were two things that angered me this season more than the outcast twist.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wait. I think I know which one of these is, but go ahead.
Yeah. Both of them ended up in the Reality TV Hall of Shame, which was one of the sister websites of Reality News Online that I also owned and published at the time. But things have changed a bit since that time. So I'm not as upset about at least one of them as I used to be. Now, the first one was Austin quitting.
Oh, yes.
He was the first one to do it. Mm-hmm. And the disgust felt by Jeff Probst was palpable as he laid down Austin's torch after snuffing it and sending him away. As Probst said, people work too damn hard to get in this game and fight to stay alive. He wants to lay his torch down. So it shall be. And yeah, as soon as Austin quit, the Hall of Shame was inundated with emails nominating him. As I said in his induction article that I wrote, Austin was complaining since the first few days. He was certain he was going to get sick, catch pneumonia, have blood in his lungs, etc. He couldn't stand the thought of actually being out in nature where there were evil creatures like bugs, crabs, snakes, or at least sticks that look sort of like snakes.
And worst of all, I think it was a pomfron.
Yeah. Okay. And then worst of all, pelicans.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, that pelican.
Yes. I mean, why the hell did he even audition for Survivor? So that's what I said at the time. I also felt similar to the way Jeff Probst felt, saying he took us away a spot from one of the many other people who knew what they would be getting into and would have done so willingly. Meanwhile, six people who had been voted off were struggling mightily to get back while he was whining and complaining and leaving voluntarily.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely a sad thing to see someone quit. I've never respected the move. I know that there have been a lot of times when individuals have basically been told it's your choice, but if you stay, you could die. Okay, well, that's different. You know, like if it comes down to you might actually die. Penner is a perfect example, you know, where they were like, listen, if you stay in the game, you could very well end up with a blood infection. And that's that. So, I mean, in those situations, obviously, you need to do what's best for you and your health. But yet, when it's just a matter of I don't like the bugs and this is too hard. Listen, and I'm someone who I don't like camping. I don't like to stay outside if I don't have to. Right now I'm in a screened in porch, even though it might look like I'm outside. But like I went on Survivor. I know, very sneaky, knowing that I was not I'm not in the elements. But when I was out there, I was out there and I was like willing to deal with anything because that's what you do when you're on Survivor. You suck it up and you deal with it. So anyone who isn't willing to do that, it's a very, very sad thing to see because there are so many people who would love to have an opportunity to be out there and would suck it up. So if you're not willing to, just don't do it.
Yeah. And then another thing that struck me both at the time and then again as I rewatched was that he said he gives 110% to everything he does unless he thinks he won't succeed, in which case he gives up.
Yeah.
And he was acting like this was something admirable and noble, but it's just saying if something is too hard, he quits.
Yeah.
You know,
no, I agree.
Yeah. Now, things got worse than what we saw on the show because he went on the media circuit and he just dug that hole even deeper. He told TVGuide.com that although people say he quit, quote, Mark Burnett quit on us by letting the outcasts in. So I thought, you know what? I'll quit on him. Which that was nothing more than an excuse because he had been talking about quitting from just a few days into the show.
Right.
Long before there was any hint about the return of the outcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there were nine other people who were faced with the same situation of the outcasts returning. You know, Andrew wasn't happy. Tijuana wasn't happy. They didn't quit.
Right.
On the early show, and which is, you know, all the survivors used to do. And in his CBS chat, Austin then made other ridiculous comments. He said Jeff Probst's behavior was juvenile and called him a coward. Says the guy who ran away from a pelican.
Yeah.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. Ooh, the tea.
Austin received a rare immediate follow up. I don't think that's tea. Follow up hall of shame.
This is not tea. Yeah,
unless maybe Long Island. He received a rare immediate follow up hall of shame article because of the way he responded to my questions when I interviewed him. So I asked a number of, don't F with me. You F with me and you're dead.
He'll put you in print. It'll be bad.
I asked a number of open-ended questions so he could tell his side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, he continued his snide BS answers. When I asked him if what it would have taken for him to stick around, he said either food or the outcast not being allowed back in. Okay, which is it? He claimed his body was breaking down, so why is he now bringing up the outcasts?
Yeah.
Tijuana and Dara weren't eating and they were like wasting away to sticks before our very eyes.
Yeah.
They didn't quit. Savage was pissed off at the outcast twist. He didn't quit.
Right.
So there was no logic to anything he said. It was clear he had screwed up. He was being super defensive by lashing out at things that had nothing to do with the reason he quit. As I said at the time, viewers understand that sometimes what we see on Survivor and other reality TV shows might not be exactly all of the pertinent information. But considering the way Austin has reacted after his stint on the show, he has done nothing to improve public perception of him. Rather than making use of his opportunities to be honest and try to get people to understand what he went through, He has been snide, sarcastic, called people names, and just overall acted in a shameful manner.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I mean, he had all these opportunities, and instead he was just like,
Yeah, and it was something, too, that, like, Savage talked a lot about how you could just see that he had checked out mentally. Right. And he's like, he's not even here anymore. And yeah. In a game like Survivor, you can't check out mentally, even though you want to sometimes because mm-hmm. you're tired and you're stressed and there's just so much happening. But to check out, if you check out mentally, you're only hurting your tribe. You know, you're not just hurting mm-hmm. yourself. And it's just unfortunate because you really are negatively affecting other people's games. Now, granted, there's one less person in the game to have to worry about. And no one needs to vote, really, because somebody's offering right. to go home. So that makes it a little bit easier. But at the same time, it really does have a negative effect on everyone who's on your tribe, for sure.
Yes. And we will actually see that somewhat with Tijuana as we get mm-hmm. into the rules. Eventually, because we still have the second notorious moment that was in the Hall of Shame. And that came for the same reason this episode was picked. Johnny mm-hmm. Fairplay's dead grandma lie.
Yes.
Okay. Now, at the time, there was an outpouring of opinion both for and against putting Fairplay's lie into the Hall of Shame. In the end, we put it in as what we call the Hall of Shame moment. So you're not being inducted into the Hall of Shame, but it deserves special recognition.
Mm-hmm.
The main reasoning was that there was no justification to have a despicable lie involving something from outside the game.
Mm-hmm.
I noted in the article that many thought it was a good game move and that he was brilliant for being the first person to plan something like this ahead of time. But I discounted that as far as rationalizing what I classified as an outside the game situation. Looking back, I now take the opposite position of my younger self, and I side with those who said it was a good strategic play.
Interesting.
Yes. Was it still scummy? Yeah, absolutely. But I'll quote from one person who emailed us against putting it in the Hall of Shame. They said it was brilliant, unethical, underhanded, morally wrong, but brilliant.
Interesting. I don't disagree with that, because here's the thing. Is it slimy? 100%. It's very, very slimy to pretend that your grandmother has died. But what I think should be considered here is the fact that, and I could be wrong, I'm just guessing, but Jeff Probst, I think, knew that that didn't happen. And he doesn't call people out when they're trying to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he seemed to, you know, even delve into it like, oh, you just got really upset. Like, what happened? And was asking questions because, and I only say this, if you are bringing out a loved one, CBS knows who you're bringing out. I mean, that's
right.
You do have a backup. You mm-hmm. know, you have someone who is going to be your loved one and you do have a backup. Absolutely. But Jeff Probst knows who those people are, you know, and he's going to know that grandma was not the first on Johnny Fairplay's list to come out. He's going to know that his buddy was the first on his list to come out. And so the fact that he lied to Jeff Probst in order to pull this off, and Probst didn't even go, time out. No, we're not doing that. We're not going to bring the outside game in here. Just makes me think that even Jeff Probst was like, wow, like this is good, because and I know Jeff doesn't want to blow people's games up at all. But the fact that I think he knew that that had happened and was mm-hmm. allowing it to happen just goes to show that even Jeff Probst respected it in a weird way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's one of these situations where I look back now and I say, yeah, I was wrong. It happened.
Look at you.
Yeah.
You're like, all right.
Because now I'm always right. So
I do really love, though, that there was so much pre-planning by both of them, because they both in their interviews talked about how this was discussed. This is what they were going to do. And everybody fell for it. Hook, line and sinker. It was amazing. Except Sandra. I think Sandra was kind of like, I don't know about this.
Tijuana said that a couple of them, I think it was Sandra and Krista, were suspicious, but they couldn't really delve into it because it would have looked bad for them.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. But you could tell they were not real pleased with all of that happening.
Yeah. Plus, let's face it, his buddy was not much of an actor. Where's grandma? she died, dude.
I know. Honestly, like, that is the worst. Like,
yeah,
finding out your grandmother is dead. She died, dude.
I mean, apparently no one else could hear because, you know, that's why Jeff had to ask the question of what's wrong.
Right. But yeah, it was certainly not a good line.
No. Thunder D was not a great actor.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, that I do have to kind of spend some time on Thunder D as well, because then when I think afterwards someone was like, hey, what's your name again? Like one of the cast members. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, Thunder D. He was like doing this thing that Johnny Fairplays did. And I was like, that doesn't seem like someone who's like really grateful to have this opportunity to explain how grandma died.
Yeah, exactly. It's
like, I'm going to get my name out there for the world. It was, it was interesting for sure.
Yeah. So now moving beyond the lie, there were so many things that Johnny Fairplay said that would never be on TV today. I would like to think they wouldn't even be said, but I've watched enough Big Brother to know that isn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said things that were insulting to various people in society. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, just watching it, it was kind of cringy. You know,
well, I think a lot of that has changed too over time, that there's been a shift in what's accepted and not accepted.
Yes.
And unfortunately, that was acceptable at the time. It's no longer acceptable. So it is cringy when you go back and watch those moments and go, oh, that's not OK. But at the time, people thought it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, on a bit of a tangent, I thought I didn't like Johnny Fairplay. But man, Sean was a dick. I mean, when you have arguments with Johnny Fairplay and I take Johnny Fairplay's side, you're just terrible. It was ridiculous.
Well, I will give him props too. Johnny Fairplay actually was playing, I think, a pretty great game. I mean, he was the center of a lot of strategic discussions and a lot of moves that were being made. Sandra, the same. I mean, just to watch the two of them play the game when it was so new and people were still really kind of figuring it out. They both worked brilliantly considering they were butting heads the whole time. But the fact that they were able to butt heads and still strategize because they both saw what was in each other's best interest and it was the other person.
Mm-hmm.
I think they both did a great job playing, and he was a much better player than I remember him to be. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of Fairplay and Sandra, in the first few episodes, Sandra actually fought to play in challenges rather than sitting out.
Yes.
And she was fighting with him. That was the origin of her famous, I can get loud too, response to him. And obviously that's, you know, quite a change would occur after the season.
Yes. And she actually did very well in challenges too. I mean, she was definitely breaking plates and doing all kinds of things. So she was certainly doing quite well. And speaking of the challenges, I did like the shift in the challenges here. There was a lot of more
standing around.
There was a lot of standing around, but it was more theme based. I guess I could say that there was more theme based challenges, which I thought was nice because it really just kind of kept the theme going. It wasn't just like, here's a maze and another puzzle. It was like, this is something that's actually regarding the islands that, and I thought that was nice. I did. And the fact that they made their loved ones walk the plank was, that was fun.
Yeah. I mean, we have in previous podcasts, we've talked about the physicality of some of the older seasons, but that definitely was not the case here. Way more competitions that involved standing still and trying to get answers than any season that I remember. You know, we had pirate trivia. We had trivia about the survivors. And then in this episode, we had a word scramble. A lot more standing around and not the type of standing around that's like an endurance competition.
Right. But I do still appreciate it because I, you know, there that shift is nice to see something different than because we talk about it a lot, you know, here's another puzzle and it's going to be, you know, run through the water, grab a key, unlock this box, get your puzzle pieces and make the puzzle. And, and, you know, this was less of that. So it was nice to see. And I really liked that the word scramble. I thought that was fun.
It was fun until he Jeff had Probst. To call everybody back. Yeah, I can't remember a time that there was ever a winner declared, an immunity necklace given, and then an error was fired.
So oh, wait, I was wrong. That's not how you spell liaison.
Yeah. I mean, of course, in Africa, there was the screwed up trivia challenge involving a piercing, but that didn't get resolved in the game. This one actually got resolved on the spot.
Yeah. Well, and I thought it was interesting, too, because Jeff Probst was the one that was just basically walking by checking the words. So he's like a walking dictionary. like, I know how to spell every word. And then that wasn't the case.
No. Yeah. So, yeah, well, you know, it's it was certainly something different.
It was. It was different. Yeah. No, I appreciate it, though. I did think that was fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that exhausts the topics I wanted to discuss beforehand. How about you? Do you have anything more?
Jeff Probst sunglasses. All right. Can we just spend like 2 seconds on that? I mean, I put a tweet out about this because I was fascinated. I have forgotten that the earlier seasons, like Rob Cesarnino, he got to wear sunglasses when he was out there the first time. And I remember watching that challenge just going, really? Like, he's wearing sunglasses. And Borneo, a lot of them were wearing sunglasses, but that fizzled out. And then all of a sudden the survivors were no longer wearing sunglasses. But then we saw Jeff Probst rocking sunglasses. And I don't think I've ever seen him wear a pair of sunglasses on any season of Survivor, except maybe I'm misremembering because I forgot about this. But I thought that was quite fun to see Jeff Probst in the sunglasses. So I'll just throw that out there.
Okay. He probably had to wear them. You know, that's how he has no wrinkles on his eyes and stuff. You know, just to
Hey, he looked great in the sunglasses. I won't. Yeah, I liked it. But again, that was a fun challenge. It was on like a pirate ship and they were doing all kinds of crazy things. But yeah, no, that I thought that should be mentioned. But other than that,
all right.
I think we covered most of it.
Okay.
Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back. We're back, so let's get back to the show.
Well, before Pearl Islands aired, I predicted that Tijuana would be in the final four. Maybe that was because I knew she read my articles, so I figured she had to be really smart. Approaching this episode, I certainly didn't see a vote against her coming. You know, just even knowing coming in.
Oh, right? I was like baffled. Yeah, I'm like, how do we get to her?
Mm-hmm. Right. She'd been part of the core. I was like, do they play an idol? Oh, wait, no, those don't exist. Mm-hmm. She'd been part of the core Morgan Alliance and then voted with Fairplay and Burton to get rid of Rupert and take control of the game. What happened in just one episode to move her from the new power alliance to everyone turning against her?
Mm-hmm.
Let's figure out why Tijuana lost. So the first rule says to scheme and plot. And while we didn't see a lot from Tijuana in this regard until this episode, it seems like she was comfortably in the core Morgan alliance, like I just mentioned. Nicole came for Tijuana in the very first episode, but Tijuana was already in a bit of an alliance with Andrew Savage and others on the tribe, resulting in Nicole getting the boot instead.
Mm-hmm.
Tijuana told me that she, Rhino, Savage, and Austin had an alliance around day 4 and thereafter. Other than that, we didn't see much of her through the next few episodes while the majority alliance led by Savage kept voting people off.
I do think that the fact that Nicole was voted out first really does speak volumes of how strong her alliance was with her, because the other options to vote out were the two individuals. It was, you know, Tall Ryan and Lil, Skinny Ryan, who were the other options, and they weren't performing well in challenges. So it made more sense to vote the weak out first, right? The person who's not bringing their all to the challenges. Let's vote them out.
In the week.
Right. So the fact that all of a sudden Nicole ends up being the one voted out because she mentioned Tijuana, I really think showed just how much faith people had in that alliance, because they were willing to take out one of their stronger players in order to save Tijuana because she was being targeted. So I thought that was an interesting thing to see happen so very early on, that people had her back. And so that really, I think, just showed how integrated they were very, very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. But as things went on, that alliance didn't make Lil feel very welcome, even beyond the fact that they voted her off once already, which made Lil a great person for Drake to pull over at the merge, especially since she and Burton had formed a relationship from being outcasts, and Burton swore he would never lie to whichever other outcast came back into the game with him. And we never saw Tijuana trying to convince Lil. We just saw Savage doing all the talking for his alliance. I can't say that means she never tried, but it didn't look good. Savage wasn't really the right person to try to convince Lil. I think they needed more of a soft touch instead of someone who said ridiculous things like people like her shouldn't or should put the interest of the tribe ahead of their own personal interest.
I did love her retort to him as well when he said to her, well, can you just let me know what you decide? And
oh, yeah,
she said, well, I asked you to let me know what you were going to do and you didn't. And I was like, ooh, that's harsh. So I agree. I think Savage was probably not the right messenger there, considering he had already turned on her and made her feel very insignificant. It would have probably made more sense to have someone else have that conversation with her for sure.
Yeah. Now, in his defense, normally when you're voting someone out pre-jury, if you don't get back to them and you vote them out, you never have to see them again.
Exactly. This is another problem with that outcast twist. Yes. Well, but Jeff talked about that. He said, you know, sometimes your past comes back to bite you, and it definitely came back to bite Savage for sure.
Yes. Now, once Savage was gone at the merge, it was mostly downhill from there for the Morgans. Tijuana and Dara joined with the in crowd by voting out Rhino in the next vote. But it turns out I originally thought, well, actually, even watching it now, I thought, oh, she's just trying to get in good with them. But she actually had good reason to do so. She told me that once Austin quit, Savage, quote, Savage thought I might betray the alliance. Rhino insisted that Dara take my place in the alliance. I, after the merge and after Savage left, found out about this. I confronted Rhino, and he confessed that he had verbalized to Savage that he wanted to take me down because of his personal liking to Dara. Excuse me. I told him that his actions voided my loyalty to him and that I would not support him if he tried to make alliances to help him stay in the game. That is why you see me put my coconuts in his trough, and that is why he wasn't surprised. I was very upfront with him about my frustration. So, remember I mentioned Austin leaving having repercussions? Well, it had it for Tijuana.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do think that we did see a lot of, I'm just going to say struggle with, like, twosomes. You know, there seemed to be people that were tied together very early on, and Tijuana was tied with Dara. And it really did, I think, start negatively affecting people's games as it moved forward, because you did have groups of people instead of just one person who might be a swing. Well, you've got Burton and Lil, and you've got Tijuana and Dara. And then you also, I mean, you had Rupert and Sandra, and then you also had Krista and Sandra. So there was a lot of, like, duos that were kind of circling about, and they really didn't want to split up from each other. And so I do think that that was part of her issue, as well as other people's issues out there, is that they did have a lot of duos that were playing the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, she also told me that while we didn't see much of her during that time, she was trying to win over Rupert, which, and speaking of duos, would also have brought Sandra and Krista along, I guess, trio. At that point, she also tried to talk to Lil about how solid her alliance with Burton was. She then talked to Fairplay because she knew he was willing to backstab everyone. Now, time out for one moment. Remember that statement. It will become important later. Time in. In any case, she said the Drakes were 100% ready to take down the Morgans first and then fight between themselves. But she and Fairplay worked something out, which led to the plan to oust Rupert that we saw. So things were looking up for Tijuana. But then Sandra struck. She and Krista worked to put thoughts in Tijuana's head about how untrustworthy Fairplay was. She even brought Tijuana along on one of her spy missions, you know, before the spy bunker. Sandra was the queen of the spy mission.
She was.
You know, she was hiding in the bushes. They listened to Burton and Fairplay, and Tijuana got to hear them talk about how she was being worked and lied to.
And this is where we have to give Sandra so much just props for how brilliant this strategy was, because she wasn't doing it to save Tijuana at all. She was doing it to save herself and to cause issues in the tribe so people would look elsewhere. She had been very vocal to Johnny Fairplay about how she didn't trust him. She never would trust him. They had a lot of fights and they were not getting along. And so anything that she could do to cause a ripple effect throughout the rest of the tribe, she was doing. And this move right here, I thought was so incredibly brilliant because she didn't really want to work with T. She just wanted another opportunity to not be voted out and to not be the focal point. So how do you do that? Well, you need to bring the focal point somewhere else. So what does she do? She drags Tijuana in. Tijuana starts talking about who she wants to vote out. And then suddenly Johnny Fairplay's like, well, hold up. This is not the plan that we had. And who's the one that's starting this rumor? Oh, it's T. So we need to go after T because she's ruining my plans now. And I just thought it was so brilliant that Sandra pulled this off and nobody once even batted an eye and looked at Sandra.
Yeah. And this leads us naturally into the second rule, which says not to scheme and plot too much and to keep your scheming secret. You know, like you mentioned, Tijuana took the lead with Dara in determining what they were going to do, which, okay, that's fine. But then they made the huge mistake, which was thinking that they had to loop in Fairplay because they didn't want to surprise him. So they told him the plan.
Yeah.
On top of that, they told him how much they didn't like Krista, which gave him ammunition to use against them
when
he went to his former allies. They had four votes, a majority. They didn't need to tell Fairplay anything.
Right.
This is like pretty much the definition of plotting and scheming too much and failing to keep your scheming secret.
And it's not like Sandra didn't tell them all. You can't trust him. Like, you can never trust him. So it was all kinds of very interesting movements being made by Sandra, where I kind of felt like she was the puppet master making people do all of these things and following her Sandra anybody but me strategy very, very well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it didn't work for T.
Yeah. Well, when I interviewed Tijuana, I of course asked her why she let Fairplay in on the plan. She said, well, they had an alliance, which I referenced earlier. And since they were supposed to be final three in this alleged alliance, and she heard him talking to Burton with different plans, she decided to be upfront like she always was. Now, remember, I talked about her being upfront earlier with Rhino. Well, she's doing it again here. Since she had the majority, she didn't feel threatened because she never thought Sandra and Krista would align with Fairplay.
Well, now, she should have learned from the fact that she heard Burton talking to Fairplay about what the plans were, and it wasn't T.
Right.
She was not part of that plan.
Yeah. To me, this shows she really didn't understand Fairplay. She should have simply voted off Burton and worried about the next vote later. You know, Johnny isn't someone who's going to hold a grudge. He would have been perfectly willing to jump back and forth, as we saw. She also told me she didn't have the full Fairplay story about him being willing to lie to anyone. She just knew that he lied to Rupert. But remember where I said, time out, this is going to be important later? Well, I mentioned she told me she knew he was willing to backstab anyone. So which is it? She literally gave me contradictory answers in the interview.
Right. Yeah.
So something doesn't line up there. I'm just not sure what.
Yeah. And I do think that this is one of those situations where if you hear an individual talking to another individual about a final three and it doesn't include you. Well, and especially if neither of those two, like, it's not like she had a close relationship with Burton. She thought she had a final three with Johnny. And if you do have the majority, as you already said, just leave it alone. Just vote the way that you want to vote because you have no, I mean, she had no alliance or allegiance to Burton. So just vote him out and deal with Johnny after. And then maybe you're still part of his final three. But at that point, when you're listening to him talk and it's Burton, Johnny and Lily or Lil, I guess, then yeah, she should have certainly not brought him in because then it just caused her to get voted out.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. The third rule talks about being flexible, and whatever we may have thought about the idea of working with Johnny Fairplay, it at least was flexible. Unlike a couple other members of her Morgan alliance, she wasn't going down with the ship. She tried to make moves that would further her position in the game.
And I do think the fact that she was close to Austin and then he ended up quitting, she didn't let that destroy her moving forward either. She found other avenues and let him go. Like, basically, like, he wants to quit. That's fine. That's what he wants to do. She didn't get in the way of that. And she let it happen. So I think that that was good for her as well, because she wasn't anchoring herself to someone who was not willing to play the game anymore.
Right. Right. Now, the fourth rule tells players not to let their emotions control them. I didn't really see much of an issue here, with the possible exception of the way she and Dara seemingly wanted to get rid of Krista after Burton because they felt Krista was obnoxious, rather than, you know, wanting to do it for any strategic reason. As I mentioned earlier, by sharing that with Fair Play, it gave him ammunition to use in turning Krista and Sandra against the women. And, you know, like Burton said in Tribal Council, you don't have to like the people you're in alliance with. You just need to have the same goals.
Yeah. And I think, too, that whole issue with the fish and how Krista was the one who was being accused of dumping the fish, and T's approach to Krista was an interesting one, because she was trying to get Krista to admit what she had done, but she wasn't doing it in an accusatory way. It was more just like, okay, I saw you standing there, and you, that's where you were when the fish went missing. So it was, she was trying to be a little more logical about it, because there was a lot of emotions, I think, at that point that were swirling around, and Krista was crying and people were yelling. But I feel like she was the one that was trying to be a little more logical. Like, okay, let's just look at it. Where were you standing? You were standing right there. I saw you standing there. So I don't think she was overreacting like everybody else was in that moment.
Right. Right. All right. The fifth rule talks about the social game and reminds players that they need to pretend to be nice. How do you think Tijuana did here?
Well, I think she was in a very good position early on, because at least Austin liked her immediately. You know, there was something, you know, Austin, I think, called her a goddess when he first saw her. So I think that she clearly came across likable pregame, which probably helped at that moment when he noticed that she was on his tribe, and he was happy about that. And then clearly, like I've already talked about, her tribe was willing to take out one of the strongest players because that player was targeting her. So that, right, I think, just shows that she was someone that they liked, and they were willing to take the person out who was causing some issues with them, and issues especially with Tijuana. So you have to be someone that is getting along with your tribe if they're willing to go that path for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say, other than the issue with Krista that we already talked, I think she was fine here. The sixth rule warns against being too much of a threat, and I don't think Tijuana really had to worry about this. Rupert was around until last episode. Burton was still here, so everybody else could really just fade into the background as far as threats went.
Yeah. I forgot just how incredible Rupert was at fishing. Wow. That was an amazing thing to see happen. So, yeah, I do think, as far as threats were concerned, they had a lot of people in front of them, so they didn't need to worry about that.
Right, right. Now, the seventh rule covers dealing with idols and advantages. Of course, there were no idols or advantages back in the days of Pearl Island, so I don't think there's much to talk about here. And by much, I mean nothing.
Nothing.
Appendix A is about the rest of the tribe keeping their end goals in mind when voting, and says to vote out the weak than the strong, and the weak than the strong, as we mentioned earlier. Normally, at this point of the game, the tribe would be voting out strong players who weren't their tight allies. I argued in my column at the time that everybody but Fair Play should have been targeting Burton. And I noted that for Johnny, it was a brilliant maneuver. He needed Burton to help him at that point, so he manipulated Sandra and Krista into helping him out. Of course, back then, I didn't know what the final outcome would be. So I also said Sandra and Krista had a chance to be final four, but decided to dump Tijuana instead. So clearly, Sandra was able to overcome this.
Well, and that's, I really do think that there, it was part of a larger plan for Sandra, because it really did go back into anybody but me. Mm-hmm. And any time that she can cause issues amongst other people, that's going to have a ripple effect. And so the fact that she knows that now they're not getting along, well, that will only help her. And, you know, she's, it was, I think it was a really brilliant play for her as far as the game was concerned, because even with Tijuana, she's still dealing with Johnny Fairplay. She's still dealing with Burton. But I think she also understood that at some point, Johnny Fairplay is going to have to realize Burton's not the guy you bring to the end with him. You know, like, you don't want that guy around, right? Because he's going to beat you. So I think she was smart enough to recognize that. And so she was willing to cut her losses here with Tijuana because it caused some discord, and she was much happier to go along with it than fight against it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, it is about time to wrap things up. So what are your final thoughts?
Well, Tijuana, it's terrible that they sent you home on your birthday.
I think it was the day before her birthday, technically.
Was it the day before? Okay, well, yeah, is that supposed to be better? That, like,
oh,
hey,
yeah, much better.
Happy early birthday. You got voted out of Survivor.
Exactly.
Yay! At least she got good food on her birthday, so that was good. But I will say, I remember, like, watching this season, and I don't remember necessarily Tijuana a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And so when we talked about this being the episode that we were going to be discussing, it made sense when then I remembered, oh, this is the dead grandma lie. So, of course, this is an episode that makes sense to discuss. So mm-hmm. she has become part of a very well-remembered episode as her boot episode, because it is the one that a lot of people talk about. But as for Tijuana's gameplay, I think that she came into the game, obviously making connections very early on. She had a core group that was willing to stick by her and vote out one of the strongest players because that person was targeting her. So I do think that that speaks volumes about the game that she was playing very early on. Even though she was playing a quiet game, I think she was still able to interact very well with people on her tribe. She was able to connect well. And those relationships carried her through. I mean, her and Dara were very close up until the very end when she ended up getting voted out. So for Tijuana, I do think that it really just came down to a lot of tribal issues. You know, you've got a tribe that's basically being decimated, and the people who are decimating it are from the other tribe. And so, unfortunately, she had to figure out how she was going to maneuver through that. And she did a good job. But she got a little aggressive at the end. She shared some information she shouldn't have shared. She probably should have taken the approach she took early on and kind of let the game happen instead of trying to make the game happen. Because unfortunately, I think for Tijuana, that was what caused her demise. If she spoke up and said, hey, this is what we're going to do, and tried to flip the script when she didn't need to. She could have just sat back, let the game happen, and then tried to make her move later. But unfortunately, she wanted to play, and unfortunately, that caused her to get voted out.
Yeah. Yeah. In Tijuana's final words, she said she tried to make some things work to her advantage and take a leadership role, but that cost her the game. Indeed, that's a big part of what happened. She took the lead with her plan to flip on Johnny Fairplay after he had been her lifeline, but then she wanted to vote out Burton and still have Fairplay come back to her. Yes, she took the leadership role, but even more importantly, of the two Morgan women who were flipping, she was the only one who could be targeted because Dara won immunity. Tijuana tried and tried to change things up so we wouldn't see a Morgan pagonging after Lil flipped. And she succeeded. But what she didn't realize was that Fairplay just wanted to use her like he used everybody else. Plans and promises held no meaning to him. What mattered was how he would progress in the game, which is the correct way to look at things, at least to a point. She became the swing vote and got a taste of power, which went to her head. She had very little power throughout most of the game. Like you said, she just wanted to play. And I think once she had that power, she wanted to use it. We've seen it happen many times, but Tijuana dealt with everything in a very upfront manner. She didn't want to surprise Fairplay, so she played fair. He was not bound by such things. Tijuana tried to change up the situation to her advantage. But when you're playing against Johnny Fairplay and Sandra Diaz Twine, you have to be thinking many steps ahead. They both were doing that, and they got out ahead of her, coming back to work together for their own benefit, just like Burton discussed in Tribal Council. Tijuana had a good idea, but she was simply too honest and open about it when she should have kept her scheming secret. And that is why Tijuana lost.
There we are.
Yep. So, before we look ahead to the next episode and other things, let me remind everyone that the rules we just discussed are available in both Poster,
Mm-hmm.
And oops, I didn't have it ready. T-shirt form. For the shirt, go to robhasawebsite.com or robhasapodcast.com. Click on the merch link, sort to see newer items first. For the poster, go to tinyurl.com/davidrulesposter2.
Yes, and I'm the shipping department, so order away and I will get it to you. But again, if you are outside of
the poster. Yes.
Yes, for the poster. I got to go this way.
There you go.
There it is. So contact me and we can get that worked out for you if you are outside of the United States.
Yes. Next episode. Well, we only have two more episodes in our Survivor journey through time.
I'm scared.
Next week, we'll be watching episode 12 of Survivor Token Teams for Coach's Trip to Exile. And of course, everything that led up to it as we watch all 12 of those episodes. Mm-hmm. It should be fun because I don't think I've ever rewatched that season, but I get to see Steven and JT and Tyson and more in their original season. And a little note here. When I first watched Tyson, I didn't like him. So it'll be interesting. Yes, it'll be interesting to do it again. Now I love him. But at the time I was not getting him.
He's a difficult one to probably get.
Yeah.
He's, you know, it's a little different, but that's what makes him great Survivor television.
Yes. Yes. But of course, even before we go through that episode, a reminder that everyone will see or hear us again for the first podcast version of Why Blank Lost for Big Brother. As again, we welcome our first guest for that, Ronnie Talbot. Expect that to show up before the Sunday Big Brother episode.
I'm going to crawl under the table.
So much to do.
There's so much to do.
So much to do.
Goodness, so much
to do. It's a good thing we don't also have lives or anything.
Right, you know, like kids and spouses and
kids, jobs.
I mean, whatever.
Right. As we wrap up, the thing is, there are some people who do like seven podcasts a week. So, you know, I feel kind of bad.
And listen, I appreciate the fact that I get to do this. I love that people listen to us and support it. It's great. I just know that it's a very time consuming endeavor. And you were like, hey, let's do Big Brother too. And I was like, okay. Just trying to calculate in my brain how I'm going to manage all of these things. But
yes,
we will do so for sure.
It'll also get easier after we're done with the Survivor part.
Yes. No, and that is true because we aren't going to have Survivor this fall, which is very sad.
Yes, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Anyway, as we wrap up, I want to encourage people to check out the RJP patron program at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Once you join, you'll see all the stuff that Rob does, all these call-in shows. In the past 2 months, he's done a 7-hour and a 6-hour patron call-in show, in addition to just his normal weekly ones. And even when Rob isn't talking directly to everyone, there are the Facebook groups to keep you occupied with a great community of people, including both of us, where you can talk about Survivor, Big Brother, life in general. So, again, remember to go to robhaswebsite.com/patron. Once you get to the Facebook groups, make sure to say hello.
It's a very lively group, so get ready for some hot, heated discussion about all the things that you love. So if you want to be involved in that, this is a great opportunity to do so. Rob does so much for the patrons. It is crazy. So if you are interested in having all of those incredible discounts, you should definitely become a patron. And then just all the extras that come along with it. So I would truly support that if you are so inclined.
And where else can people reach us?
I always forget.
That,
okay, can I? I got it right away. Look at that. I am at JessicaLewis89 and he is at David Bloomberg. You should follow us both on Twitter so that way you get both sides of the story. I'm going to try to start live tweeting maybe during Big Brother if I'm not watching it at 2:00 in the morning laying in my bed because I played catch up with everything else. So I'm going to do my best, but you should definitely follow us both. I'm at JessicaLewis89, at David Bloomberg, and we post throughout the week various things Survivor-related and life-related. So feel free to follow us and comment and chat. It's fun.
Yeah. We need a hashtag. Did you have one?
Well, I mean, it's the dead grandma. It's really like you really can't get away from dead grandma, can you? I mean,
no, I can't do dead grandma.
Okay,
I
well, I'm just, that. She died, dude. She died, dude.
I'm good with she died, dude.
Okay, perfect. She died,
yeah,
dude.
She died, dude. And of course, there's the hashtag for this podcast overall, YXLost. Everyone should make sure they're subscribed to all the RHAP Survivor podcasts at robhasapodcast.com/survivor or on your favorite podcatcher. We, of course, are also on the reality TV Rehap Ups feed. In both places, you'll find the other, you know, Wiggle Through Time and B&B Through Time episodes. So make sure you get those. And then there's also a also on reality TV Rehap Ups. There is a new 90 Day Fiancé Rehap Up with Pooya. I have to admit, I don't know much about the show. I almost don't know anything about the show.
So good.
Okay. Well, I know Pooya is a great podcaster, so we encourage you to tune in.
If you just want to watch a train wreck, watch that show.
And then listen to Pooya describe the train
wreck. It's incredible.
Yeah. Now, as I mentioned, you can hear it in the Rehap Ups feed, or you can subscribe specifically to it at robhasawebsite.com/90dayfiance. And 90 is 90. Don't spell out 90.
We also want to say thank you to Scott St. Pierre for all of the editing that he does, both on the video and audio version of Why Blank Lost. He does amazing work. So thank you so much, Scott. And also thank you to Will from America for the incredible theme song that he created for the audio version of Why Blank Lost. So you got to go there to listen to it, and then you can come here and see us. So you can do both if you like. So thank you both, Scott and Will, for the incredible work that you have done and continue to do.
Yes. And thank you, Jessica, for another great week and for agreeing to use up more time as we go forward during both Survivor and Big Brother.
Yes. Thank you for including me throughout all of this. I really do appreciate it. I know I complain sometimes it is a lot, but it's just a lot. So,
It's a lot.
But it's a lot. That's right. Yeah. To quote someone else who does a lot of podcasts.
Yes.
So thank you, Bryce, for that. But yes, thank you. I do have a great time. This is definitely a lot of fun. And I obviously love Survivor. So going back in time and watching these seasons again, it's really nice because I can kind of go back to those moments when I'm first watching the season when they first came out. So I'm having a great time with that. So thank you so much. Yep. I'll continue to whine though. So just deal with it.
Yeah. You'll continue to drink wine. That's what you mean.
Yes, that too.
All right. Well, everybody, I was going to say see you next week, but hopefully we will see you in under a week because you'll be here for our Big Brother podcast.
That's right.
So we'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.